All right, here we go. Welcome to the No Onions podcast, where we talk to filmmakers, producers, actors, fans, and so on, as they discuss their unpopular opinions about very popular productions. This actress that we have today, I'm very excited. She is a person I've known for a few years now, but this actress, producer, poet, model, and soldier hails from Columbia, South Carolina. So a significant life change that caused depression and anxiety propelled her into a world of art and creativity, where she now vigorously pursues opportunities to showcase and perfect her many crafts. She's appeared on TV shows and films on TV One, Tubi, Amazon Prime, and now currently Peacock, and so much more. And in her spare time, she is a doctoral student. I want y'all to give it up for my sister, none other than Miss Alicia Moore.
Hey, how you doing?
Listen, first, I always like to start off by kind of sharing a little insight. So I guess it's been a few years since I've known you. And every time we've had a conversation, like, it's like, oh, my God, thank you. Somebody else sees it. Oh, my God, thank you. Somebody else understands. Oh, my God, thank you. She gets it. So it's such a privilege to have somebody of your caliber, an actress like you, to be on this platform with me to talk about some stuff. Ironically, though, this is probably one of the few moments where we don't quite agree. So before we get into that, though, if you could just share with the people, whoever's listening or watching, how they can follow you, how they can keep track of what you have going on, please, ma'am.
Oh, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram. I am Elicia.Belle, that's B-E-L-L-E, dot Moore, that's Instagram. And then I'm also on Facebook as Elicia Moore Hill. I do have TikTok, but please don't ask me to handle.
just if you see her face, then that's her. Then just follow her.
I actually have a logo that's made, and I use the same logo across all my platforms, so you'll know it's me. But my main two are Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So what about any projects we got coming up that you're excited about, or any that have already happened that you want to make sure people know about? What's up? Talk to us.
We're in the lab. So this weekend, actually, I will be doing a poetry set in Charlotte for a Mother's Day brunch.
Let's go.
About that. And then from there, I go into June, where I will be on stage with Maurice Lochner, Jeffrey Lewis, and Ma from Tyler Perry Stage Play, performing the gospel hit show Vengeance down in Sumter, South Carolina. So excited about getting on with those creative geniuses. That is going to be a time.
Yes, and it is.
I recently won a scholarship to go train in LA for a week and network with professionals out there. So I'll talk about that a little later on when you ask me a couple of questions, because it's so tied to something that is held near and dear to my heart. But I'm excited about what's going to unfold from that visit. So, yes, awesome. Other than that, I'm back here writing papers.
You're working.
Last week.
So since you talked about that, what's your doctoral in? Like, a doctor of what?
So this is going to be my doctoral in business administration. Mm. My research is going to be on institutional and structural racism in the military.
I can't say that. That's smart people stuff. That's smart people stuff right there.
It's a conversation that needs to be had. I've been in the military for 25 years. I started off doing 10 years on active duty. Then I transitioned into the reserves. I'm currently in an active duty status. Just trying to rack up my points so I can go ahead and retire and get a full retirement, you know?
I hear that.
But the conversations, the language, how we talk, in code and language, and it comes out as racism, whether it's inverted, you know, or, you know, we're being wide open with it, but you don't see the wide open instances as much. I can tell you, as a Black female warrant officer, there's only 133 Black female warrant officers in the Army Reserve. So I understand that I'm a walking anomaly anytime I go out and go somewhere. But I get the, you know, I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to salute you or not. And, you know, the side looks, the side eyes. I don't know if I want to say good morning to you or not. Let me walk on this side of the road and come. Like, it's so many things that we experience. And it's to the point where we've almost become conditioned to it. But the truth of the matter is it's trauma.
Wow.
It's trauma. And it's the conversations that we're not having. And I really want to just dig into the structural issues behind how racism is still being permitted to be prevalent in the military, even in 2025. So
that is huge. Well, kudos to you for that. Like, that's big. I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, you would think, you know, racism, government, like being that far or that effective, right, in the government, that you wouldn't have to deal with those types of things. So that's crazy. That's crazy.
It's just the opposite, but hey, we're gonna talk about it today. All
right. Well, I don't know a whole lot about that, right? I got a brother, I got some uncles, you know, in the military, but I don't know a whole lot about it. I do know a little bit about acting, and one thing I say is, as an actress, it always amazes me how anytime you're given like a role, like anytime I've seen you like portray a character, it's like a totally different person, you know, like. Anytime I've seen you, you know, acting in a movie, and like, no matter what it, like, okay, for instance, okay, so like, you got actors who are like, anytime you see him, you're like, oh, that's okay, that's Will Smith, you know, but like, it's certain people who like, who are able to like completely disconfigure themselves and then are reborn into this whole different person. Some of my favorite actors, like Tom Hanks, you know, or like Mark Wahlberg, like, you're like up there with that elite. Oh, like, wow. You're just able to just, I'm so serious. Like, no cap, as my son would say, no cap. Like, you're able to literally metamorphosize into a completely different person. And that's like, that's so dope. I think it's so dope and so awesome. So I just wanted to tip my hat to you for that. Like, keep doing your thing. And you're so humble, you know, as well. You know, like, every time I meet you, you never like, I've never been on set with you and it's been like, go get me my water. You know what I'm saying? Like, you real, but you take it seriously too. You know what I'm saying? It's really hard to find that balance where you get an actress who is serious, but also easy to work with. And I think that's dope as well. So
thank you. I have an amazing acting coach.
Wow. Awesome. You want to shout them out real quick? I mean,
oh, absolutely. Big shout out, big ups to the amazing Jonna Nagley out of Atlanta, Georgia, who teaches the Chubbuck Method. It's actually the scholarship that I won up under her program that I'll be going out to LA to network with close-knit people that she has in the industry. So yes, I am a method actor. I am proud to say I'm a method actor, and my coach is Jonna Nagley all day.
That's what's up. That's why I keep thinking about that scene. And right, wait, did I have the name of the movie? Hold on. But all I know is you sing, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine." I'll be like, what?
So, fun fact, are you ready? Uh-huh. I actually sing that song in two different shows.
Really?
I do.
Wow, is that your choice or is it just happened to be like that? Okay.
It was a personal choice. I love that song. It just reminds me of my childhood. And so in one scene, I'm singing it because I'm mourning. And in another scene, in a completely different production, I'm singing it because I'm in an altered state, if you will.
I noticed that. That's the one I'm talking about. Okay.
But I'm connected to my youth. So the song that I'm singing, it's not just I'm blurting out any song. It's a song that connects me to a better time in my life.
And that film is Pastor, right? Okay. All right. I had to think about it a little bit. I watched it. I tried to be a pastor. I remember that. And that shout out to you. That was Raquel.
Raquel Thomas with Dream Pastor Productions. actually gave me the opportunity to help produce that film.
Okay, big producer credit. Let's go.
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, so since you're a producer, all right, so now we're going to talk about this. So, all right, so the name of the show is No Onions. I hate onions. Onions are considered the holy trinity of, like, food and recipes or whatever. Like, they're part of the holy trinity. Like, I think it's onion, celery, and then, like, some kind of peppers, right? So, in terms of film, right, in terms of film, what three ingredients would you consider are, like, the holy trinity, like, that just, that is necessary for any film to be successful? What three things are they? And I'm going to take notes while you say
it. To have a successful film, I think the first thing is, one, having trained actors.
Mm.
So important that you have trained actors.
Wow.
Because as a director, while you're not an actor, you know what you're looking for and you know what you want. And if you're a trained actor, you know, you're flexible. You're taught how to be flexible enough to be able to make those adjustments and then move forward. A lot of times I've seen actors who are not trained. And when the director says, hey, I want you to do this, the first comment is, well, I wouldn't do that in my personal life. I wouldn't do that anymore. And it's like, you can't judge the character. And that's one
right
thing I'm constantly saying. You can't judge the character. You simply become the character.
Mm.
And so that is like my number one across the board. Being set ready. That's my second
one. You dropping some heavy ones. You dropping some heavy ones.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if we're gonna mix this thing, and I'm not just talking about the actors, I'm talking about everyone who has a piece of the pie.
Everybody.
That mindset, that motivation, the energy, the synergy that it takes to get through a day, because if you film for one day, just one, it is a long day, whatever it is, because you're wanting to get it right. So then you take that and you multiply that by 2 days, 3 days, and when you start getting into larger productions, we're talking months at a time, you have to be ready. You got to be on top of your lines. You have to be able to have the energy. You have to be flexible. You have to be open-minded, all these things, and you can't be distracted with everything else that's going on. It's work.
It's fun,
it's exciting, but it's still work. You're putting your name on the line. So those are like my top two.
I got goosebumps. Okay.
and then my third one is respect. Having respect. One of my things that I like to say is that when God does take me to that next level and it's time and I'm already walking in it and I choose to walk in it as if it's already happened, is I don't want to be the Beyonce of acting.
Mm.
I want to be the Fantasia of acting. Mm. And what I mean by that, Beyonce is the one that you can't really touch. You admire her. She's done amazing things, not taking anything from her, but she's not one that you can reach out and touch. Like she's up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have Fantasia that has that same caliber of excellence.
Yeah.
And she'll make you feel like you're her best friend.
Yeah.
You're that auntie. You're that sister. She makes life look achievable. She is very human throughout her process. And that is the type of person that I want to be. So I enjoy being able to come on set. I don't care how much knowledge that I have. But being humble to, you know, just get the opportunity to do it, as they say in the church, just one more time. So yes, it's respect, because at the end of the day, you can do all the acting in the world, but just like there's a such thing as bad acting, there's also a such thing as bad directing.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're getting coached into doing whatever the director wants you to do,
right,
it could still be a bad decision made on the director. So if that communication is there, if that respect is there, then you can open that door and say, you know, and be able to have that conversation. But if the communication isn't there, if the respect isn't there, it's kind of hard to bring that synergy to the table. So those are my top three.
Yeah, and respect is a big one. Respect is because it crosses like all boundaries, all departments, all people. Like, yeah, I love that. And it's funny you say that, because especially that Beyonce and Fantasia thing, because the last film I think we worked on together, The Perfect Victim, like so many people were like, yeah, man, you know, Alicia, she was like helping me with this, she helped me with that, she made sure, yeah, man, oh man, she saved me, and I ain't asked for the testimonials, you know, like I'm just going through it, and I'm like, yeah, I couldn't figure out how to get there, and she just told me to take a moment, and I was like, oh wow, okay, all right.
I remember that day because you're like, everybody move, yeah. Yes, but that's what it's about. We're team winning.
Everybody has
a goal to get across this finish line. And if we're not working together, if I'm looking at the person to my left and to my right and I'm like, my first instinct is, oh, you don't have more credits than me. You don't have acting coach. You don't. That's just bad juju.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look at you. All right. So now we are getting to stuff I don't agree with. All right. So there is a film that is a very, 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 very popular film. Probably one of my top. Might be my top 10. That you have a difference of opinion on. Would you please share with the people what film that is?
Absolutely. Let's just rip the band-aid off. Kill Bill.
Oh, God.
Kill Bill. Kill Bill is, to me, one of the easiest movies I've seen. I am not a dry humor kind of person.
Yeah.
But even scenes with the dry humor or the let's look half fake, half real kind of thing, it just doesn't move me. My son, he's a writer and he enjoys that dry humor stuff. And I told him, I was very frank with him. I said, baby, because I'm your mama. I said, but this does nothing for me.
All right, so okay, it's because everybody's thinking it. So if your son wrote a dry comedy, it was like, Mama, I want you to act in this. What are we doing?
It would depend on what part of the scene I have. Because I'm all for, you know, expanding my range and seeing what I can and can't do. And of course, you know, there's a difference between acting out a scene and there's a difference in watching a scene.
Yeah, 100%.
So like, as far as like horror films, you can't get me to watch a horror film unless it's Sinners. But if you ask me to act, because you're telling me, you know, the scene may be where I'm going down some dark trail and, you know, I'm getting chased by somebody. Well, when you see it, it's going to look scary. But I know I'm out there with somebody holding a mic.
Right. Yeah, somebody right there, got a script supervisor over here. Right.
So it's a different perspective when you're watching something versus acting in something.
That's fair. That's a fair perspective. I dig that. Now, so let's go back to the movie. So we got Quentin Tarantino, one of my favorite directors and writers. We got Uma Thurman. We got Lucy Liu. We got Vivica Fox, you know? So I get the style isn't there, right? But
yeah.
So other than the style, is there anything else that like kind of misses you? Is there any scene in particular that kind of stands out that's like, okay, yeah, that's not gonna work for me?
I will tell you, hands down, the scene that just completely turned me off. It was the fight scene with Vivica A. Fox, and they were having the fight scene in her house.
In the living room.
No.
In the kitchen.
Oh, hey! Here! And then all of a sudden, we're going into like karate mode. And as you're fighting, you're now focused on your, what, 4 or 5-year-old who's getting off the bus. So you're both now strategically trying to find when you're going to stop fighting so that you can greet a 4-year-old, what, a kindergartner or first grader, getting off the bus, and then you want to save the what was it, the dog?
Yeah.
Like, make it. make it make sense.
Yeah, I feel you. It,
I understand like the lightness of what, you know, they were trying to accomplish out of it. It just doesn't do it for me.
I feel you. I mean, it's a, it definitely was far from realistic. I give you that. But I just, you know, that part does kind of make you think, like, if you are in the middle of a fight and you are a person who cares about children, you know, do you stop? Do you pause and not beat their mama up in front of them? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you say, so, oh, wait, let me
with the door, I mean, with the window, the curtains pulled wide open, and the bus driver is driving as you're letting a child, one, get off the bus with no parent supervision. We don't do that anymore. This is, you know, this is not the day and age that a child is getting off the school bus with no parent being outside. So now, so this is me thinking through how life would actually be. And that's where my struggle is. Mm. Like, I understand there's like a lightheartedness to it, but the mom in me says, there's no way my kid would get off this bus.
Yeah.
And I'm not here. Like, baby, stay on the bus. Let me go find out where your mama's at. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just,
I can see it. Like, I see the perspective. When we break it down, I get it. It's definitely not realistic. It's just, to me, it's so, and I don't think I cuss on here. So it's so, like, I haven't cussed yet, so I don't know how that feels. But it's so bad, like, because after she, you know, after she killed her mama, then she, like, you know, basically, like, hey, if you wanna, you know, come back and get revenge in a few years, let me know. Like, I feel like that was really kind of tough. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh. Oh, and the fake blood. That was very indie.
Well, I think it was done for the reason you don't like it. I think it was done for the dry humor effect and also. I think to keep it from being too gruesome, they said, let's just use some, you know, I don't know what that was, paint maybe, I don't know. But
well, I've made blood on set before, with your classic corn syrup and some food color. You know, I think it's like a little bit of flour or something like that. You know, all kinds of stuff to make blood. Special effects is very fun to play with.
Really? I didn't see. Okay, so we got producer, we got actress, we got special effects person.
I wish. Now, I will tell you another fun fact about me, because of the type of things that I do. I do bring my own blood with me to set.
That is a first. I've never heard of an actor bringing their own blood.
Because, so, you know, let's be honest, I'm still doing indie films. And films, it's very collaborative. It's a lot of teamwork. Yeah. And so there's things that you're thinking about to make the scene look as realistic as possible. And there's some things that the director may have missed and like thinking about it after the fact. And so I'm that person, again, I've been in the military 25 years. I'm that person that likes to come prepared. I even have my own clapper. I have a class.
Yeah, on director board.
So I promise. I actually went on set one time, and it was a guy that was trying to get experience being on a camera crew, and so he had one of the little small, about this big. Aww. He had one of that, and you would say, "Oh, yeah." And so he had one of the cute little, you know, mini clappers. And so he expected the director to write on this mini clapper. And I was like,
"What? They had a mini pen?"
And so the military in me says, we can talk about the problem all day.
Yeah.
What's the solution?
Wow.
I don't care about the problem. I care more about the solution. Let's say that there is a problem, but let's address it with the solution. So this is how I end up putting different things that maybe the average person is not thinking about into my acting bag when I go. So I have blood, I have makeup, I have my own clapper.
They say, you're like, yeah, I got a little mic in there. I got a little camera just in case, you know.
I have my own little pop-up tent. I got a dress outside. I got my own little...
Amen. Amen. That's dope. But it's so real in the indie world, in the low budget world. You know, like it's really helpful to have people who are not operating like they are not in the indie world.
Absolutely.
Like come together and let's make it work, man. And honestly, if it works well and everybody, even if you gotta carry a little extra weight, if the final product is good, everybody benefits from it. You know?
And it makes for great memories.
Great
it
memories.
Makes for really great memories. And I'm one of those people who cherish memories like you're giving me $1 million. Like it means a lot to have great memories.
Oh, I like that. I like that. All right, we about to run out of time. So listen, so this is the part where I gotta ask you. Okay, we talked about the movie. Oh, I hate this part. I don't know why I came up with it. Okay, so we talked about the movie, and we talked about your perspective. You know, I still think it's a great movie, and all that. And I know you don't like dry comedy. So here's the question: would you watch it again?
Well, wait. Let me reel that back. Because I am. If that film was assigned to me, because again, I'm a method actor, if that film was assigned to me to study, what have you, I will watch it under those pretenses.
Gotcha. But
if it was for just entertainment, no.
Hmm. So basically what normally happens is you say whether you'll watch it again. If you say yeah, then I eat this onion. And I don't know if you, I mean, last time I had a big onion, so I made it smaller this time because it was gross. So since you said that under the right pretenses or, you know, the right circumstances, you would watch it again, I'm going to just take half of it. God, it, you know, this taste lasted in my mouth for 3 days last time. Oh, it's so gross. Oh my God.
Oh, that is so healthy for you.
It is gross.
What kind of onions, if you don't mind my asking?
You can ask. So last time I had a red onion.
Okay. Those are
this
good.
Time is a white onion.
Ew.
Yeah.
What she say? Wait. What did Gabrielle Union say in Deliver Us from Eva? Get him some bread.
I just so I'm thinking like maybe if I do this enough, I'll start liking it. I don't see it ever happening. It's gross.
Oh,
my mama my mom said maybe you should have cooked it first. It ain't gonna make a difference. It's gross. But anyway, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it. I know we had some stuff that we had to, you know, figure out, and I'm glad you made it. And I appreciate you being a team player. And I appreciate you bringing what you bring to this industry, especially on this level. Like it's really hard out here when you're a director or producer and you're writing films and trying to get people to be involved in it. It's really hard finding talent that is talented, but also not so full of themselves. So I appreciate you for being a person who has the talent, but also has the, hey, let's do it, and the good attitude to go along with it. So I thank you so much. Is there anything that you would like to leave with the people? You taught us about the shows coming up. I was so excited to see you guys have my notes at on Peacock, we got Secrets in Plain Sight. I thought that was so dope. When I saw that, I was screaming. And I was like, I was trying to find SVU because I watch SVU, and I just typed S, and then it popped up. I said, it was so dope. Yeah. So anything
for those
else?
Don't know the reason Peacock is such a big deal is because Peacock is, and I hope I'm saying this word right, it's a subsidiary of NBC.
NBC.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it that is. It is.
That is. Oh, that's God.
Crazy. That's crazy, man. That's so crazy. Like it was already a big deal on Tubi, you know what I'm saying? But now you like Peacock, like you know, like it's like the cream of the crop type, you know, station like that. Yes. That's so dope. So, you know, congratulations on that.
God, man, is amazing. He's faithful. He's just, and I'm just glad to be on the good side of his favor. So
there you go. There you go. And shout out to Wild Productions, and shout out to 171. This is amazing. And all right.
Actually, I'm just correct that real quick.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Talk to me. Yeah, do this. Come on.
Wild Studio One.
My bad. Yes. Thanks for correcting that. Wild Studio One.
Come together, and they are now called Wild Studio One.
Wow.
Big collaborative effort going on.
That's
here.
Cool. That's real cool. That's real cool. Wild Studio One. I have that in my mental Rolodex now, and I will not forget it. Shout out to every. If I start listing names, I'll miss somebody, so I ain't gonna do it.
Don't do it.
I did a post last night, and I was tagging everybody. I said, I know I'm missing about 20 people. Let me just stop.
I learned quickly why everybody stops when they say, "Oh my gosh, mom, hello, mom, I love you." And they stop at mom, because anybody else after mom is like,
absolutely. Well, listen, thank you again, and you have a wonderful night. Yeah, did you have anything? Anything? Yeah, I don't know if I let you finish.
I just want to say thank you so much, one, for thinking of me. You could have chosen anybody else. I know you have more people in your lineup, but it is truly an honor and a privilege to be able to come onto your podcast. You know, I'm on board with anything that you have going on, whether it's being in front of the lens or behind the lens. So I just thank you for the opportunity to get in front of the camera one more time and share my love for being a creative. And I'm just happy.
There you go. I appreciate you appreciating that. Means a lot. And you know, we got work to do, so we gonna talk. All right, well, you have a good evening. Thank everybody for tuning in to the No Onions podcast, and make sure y'all go follow my girl, and everybody have a good day. Peace.